Will you pray with me, please? Lord, enlarge our imaginations so we can comprehend the length and breadth and height and depth of what you are up to. You are the ruler of the kings of the earth. You have made us a kingdom of priests serving. So enlarge us so that we can fully get in on all your kingdom. We pray. Amen. The gospel reading is John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37, and I've put it on the back of your sermon outline, and I include it so you'll take a pencil or a pen and do some scratching on it. We've been learning how to do close reading of Scripture through the summer, and I want us to continue that. And so I'd like you to notice as I read this repetition, and I'll give you some hints. I notice repetition of king. That comes through loud and clear. And then I want us to underscore, and if you want a hint, you can look on your outline on the front side, underscore a couple of phrases that to me are salient, most important from this reading. And there might be some other things that you notice as it is read as well. I'm always intrigued by what happens after I've studied all week a passage of Scripture, and then when I read it Sunday morning, I think, I didn't even see that. And I've spent the whole week studying it. What happened? How come I missed that? So a public reading of Scripture is definitely a means of grace, isn't it? Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The word of the Lord. C.S. Lewis' second book in his space trilogy is called Paralandra. The goddess Paralandra and the god Malkandra are trying to appear to the human ransom. "Let us prepare our shapes. We are hard for them to see when we remain in ourselves." So they experiment with different ways of making themselves visible to this human. They try light, a shimmering light that doesn't quite work. They try a series of wheels within wheels, reminiscent of Ezekiel, if you've ever read it, and all that does is confuse ransom. And then finally, they take on a quasi-human form, more than human, bigger than human, but quasi. And ransom, okay, I can see you now. Communicating is another thing altogether. You get in on the frustration at one point when Paralandra responds to one of Ransom's questions with, "There is no meaning in your question." And some of you that know Brian Lugioio can hear that paraphrase with him. Oftentimes he'll respond with, "That's not the right question," or "That question doesn't make sense." And you feel like, whoop, because I need to come up with a better question. "There's no meaning in your question." But the response I like best from Paralandra to Ransom is this one. There is no holding place in your mind for an answer to that. You have a little pea brain, and if I tried to answer it, you don't have the capacity to handle an answer that I could give you. There is no holding place in your mind for an answer to that. Pilate has no holding place in his world for Jesus' answers. So he dismisses Jesus and then says, go ahead and crucify him if you want. Get this guy out of here. Lord, teach us to pray. Enlarge our imaginations. We want to have holding places in our minds for what you're up to so that we can get in on it. Amen. What have you done? It's a question Pilate asked Jesus. Pilate questions Jesus from his 2x3 world. Pilate is the prefect sent from Rome, overseeing an occupying army. Pilate's 2x3 world is versed in occupying armies and governments and military and all things Roman. He knows about kings, and in his hands, he holds the death penalty. The Jews can't kill people themselves. They're being occupied, and so they have to get permission from Pilate in order to execute death penalty. So they bring Jesus to Pilate. And from his 2x3 world, he says, "Are you a king?" He understands that. And they go back and forth, and Jesus tries to explain to him with an answer that Pilate's mind won't hold what he is about and where his kingdom comes from, and it's not of this world, and you don't need to worry. And so Pilate ends the conversation with, "Well, then, so you are a king." This is all it's the only way I can process this. You must be a king then. That's as large as his world can imagine. And then you have Jesus. Through him, all that is was created, and in him, it all holds together. He's the Alpha and the Omega. In him is the fullness of God. As much of God as you can pack into a human form, that's Jesus, the creator, the sustainer. And this Jesus is on his way to the cross, the most significant event in human history, Jesus dying on the cross and rising again. And in some mysterious way, I know we have theories of atonement, but in some mysterious way, his death on the cross and resurrection makes it so, his shed blood makes it so, my sin is forgiven, my guilt is removed, and I can move into the freedom that he died and rose again, that I can get in on. And so this is this Jesus, 2x3 Pilate, questioning this Jesus. Imagine it. So what have you done? And there's no holding place in Pilate's mind for Jesus' answer. So he dismisses him. Go ahead. You need the death penalty from me? You got it. Take him yourselves and crucify him. I haven't found any guilt in him. Nothing he's done warrants the death penalty. Good. Deal with it. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Hopefully by now when you see a phrase like that and you're studying the Bible, for this, you sit up and pay attention. Because, therefore, so that, those kinds of phrases should be underlined in yellow in your Bibles. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. There are other places in the Bible where it's clear that Jesus came to undo the work of the devil, and Jesus came to do this and came to do that. But here, Jesus is saying, and John is penning, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. King, if I tried to explain to you how I'm a king, you couldn't get it, Pilate. So, okay, king, yeah, whatever. Not of this world. You say so. Go ahead, accept that if you want. But let me tell you, Pilate, what I really came for. I came to testify to the truth. Now, when you see a phrase like that and you're doing Bible study, you ought to stop. I mean, many of our Bible studies are sort of a regimen. You got to read these verses today and then read this tomorrow and then read that the next day. If you come to a phrase like testify to the truth, you need to put all that stuff away and spend a few days just wandering around in that phrase. You want to get concordances. You want to get in your Bibles. You have footnotes or endnotes. You want to get cross references, and you want to really get at what in the world is Jesus saying. I want my mind enlarged so that I can get in on this whole notion of testifying to the truth. And one of the first things you want to do when you do that kind of study is keep your study located in John and look at other verses in John where truth or testify to the truth are repeated. And you'll see that in the Gospel of John, there's this theme repeated over and over and over again of truth and testifying to the truth. And so you have in chapter 1 of John, Jesus says, or John is recording, and he says that Jesus came into the world full of grace and truth. And in another place, Jesus says to them, I am the way, the and the life. So it's repeated over and over again. So the irony of it is this little pea-brained pilot in his 2x3 world is standing in front of the truth, and he's not the philosopher king here, what is truth? He's just, what's truth? Get out of here. Standing right there, and he's incapable of even recognizing it. His imagination is so small. Full of grace and truth. You will also find in the Gospel of John the repetition of this notion. When Jesus teaches, oftentimes he's being challenged by the authorities, and they ask a question something like this, where did you get this? By what authority are you saying these things? And Jesus' stock response in the Gospel of John is, I only say what I hear the Father saying. So I listen, and then I simply pass on to you this truth. I'm a conduit. And you happen to be standing at the open end of the viaduct, and you get truth. But I'm not coming up with it on my own. I'm just paying attention to what God has been saying, and I'm sharing with you God's words, God's truth. I testify to the truth. Same thing happens with his actions. He's casting the money changers out of the temple, or he's raising Lazarus from the dead. And they say, by what authority are you doing this? Who do you think you are? Where'd you get? How come you? And he'll say, I only do what I see the Father doing. I'm paying attention to what God is up to, and then I simply ape it or mimic it or copy it and do it here on earth. So you want to know why I'm driving the money changers out of the temple? I see God doing that, and I'm simply doing what I see God doing. So he's testifying to the truth. He's passive in that it's not originating with him. He's a conduit. And he's just simply letting truth that he hears and sees flow through him, removing as many obstacles as it can be removed, so that you get in on this truth. A passive conduit is a testifier to the truth. He simply moves truth forward. And the purpose is so that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the ultimate purpose of a testifier, in this case of Jesus, and God's hope is that you and I, Pilate, will see and hear truth and get in on truth, and the upshot will be freedom. And so our purpose statement is in our church is to lead people to freedom. And my whole life long, my goal is to be as free as I can possibly be in this world that God created. And wherever I'm bound, wherever you're bound, wherever the church is bound, to remove the bindings so that we can be free. And I love the picture of a girl dancing in the meadows, the Swiss Alps, with a print dress on, barefoot, flowers, snow-capped mountains, and don't care who's around, I'm just dancing. That kind of sort of unabated, innocent freedom. I mean, you guys might have trouble seeing yourselves in a print dress, but whatever coveralls or whatever suits you. No Speedos. Pardon me. Freedom. For this purpose, I was sent into the world. And 2x3 Pilate says, yeah, what is truth? Take him and crucify him. Getting in on it. You all have been on the receiving end of truth testifiers. You belong to the truth. The Psalms say that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky, the firmament, the lid, shows his handiwork. God is always testifying to the truth. Romans 1 picks up on that and says, what can be known about God is plain, because God has shown it to them. His divine power has been understood and seen through the things he has made. Creation is a megaphone testifying to the character, the nature, the divine power of God. When you hear Francis Chan speak, or when you want to hear Francis Chan speak, you go to where Francis Chan is speaking. If you want to hear what God has to declare, you will need to get off the concrete and out into the forest. Lay on your back in your backyard, or if you don't have one, borrow one, and watch the night sky go by. We are at a disadvantage in the city. You have to go and get out and get into the place where God speaks loud and clear. You've been on the receiving end of God testifying. You've been on the receiving end of people testifying. Most of the time, when God wants to get his truth from here to here, he speaks through people. Dave and Bob testified that Sunday night when I was 18 years old in my home church. I testified about what God had done that morning in their local church. And their testimony was so loaded with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit rode in heavy on their testimony, that this resistant 18-year-old Dale Winslow couldn't hang on to the back of the pew anymore and had to go to the altar and moved into that freedom that Jesus Christ offers. You've heard people testify to the truth, and it is to you. Last Sunday, I'll just call her Worshipper A in this place and Worshipper B. During the prayers of the people or during the peace, Worshipper A heard the Holy Spirit share some truth with her about Worshipper B. And so during the peace, Worshipper A said to Worshipper B, "I'd like to pray with you. Would it be okay if I prayed with you after church?" And Worshipper B said, "If you've got a word from the Lord, bring it on." So when the benediction after the benediction happened, Worshipper A prayed for Worshipper B and shared words of the Lord, truth, what God was thinking about her. And when Worshipper B shared that story the next week, Monday night, she shared it with tears because it came in loaded with the power of the Holy Spirit, affirming, testifying to the truth of what God thought about Worshipper B. That stuff is happening here rhythmically. And my prayer is that it will happen more. In fact, this Sunday morning, this morning, I would expect that many of you will be nudged by the Spirit when the prayers of the people are being prayed, or as you've looked around the congregation, or as you've heard stories or chatter in the lobby, the Holy Spirit is saying, "I've got some truth for Worshipper B, and I need you to testify to that truth." So please don't leave coffee in the courtyard without getting with Worshipper B and letting them know what I think about them, because normally the truth gets testified to by another person. Sometimes there'll be words written on a wall. Sometimes there'll be a burning bush. Sometimes there'll be an angel or a dream. But normally, it's testimony through another person. Another anecdote. There's one of you here, one of you worshipers here now, who are hearing God quicken, bring to life scripture for me. And two times, specifically in the last week, you have come and said, "This is scripture that God has for you." And it is. It just is. How do I know that? Because somebody testified to the truth. And I am able to move into more freedom because of that truth. The city of Azusa is on the receiving end of this testimony as well. The mayor has brought together all the church leaders, clergy in the city, and brought us together in a ministerial association that hasn't been happening for several years. And that unity is a testimony to the city. We had a community Thanksgiving meal both on Thursday of this week and Saturday of this week, reaching out to the community. The Saturday meal was about five or six different churches coming together. In John 17, Jesus says, "I pray that they may be one so that the world may know that you sent me." The unity is proof to the world that Jesus has been sent by God. How do we get God's truth into the city of Azusa? Well, one of the ways is for the churches to work together in unity. And the city of Azusa is now on the receiving end of that viaduct as some of these efforts are happening. There are times when God testifies to the truth, creation. There are times when God uses a burning bush or an angel or a writing on the wall. But normally God chooses to testify to the truth through you and me. Watch. Listen. Now, this morning as we gather, listen for God to tell you who is to be on the receiving end, who is to get it, and when and how. Lord, you are speaking and doing all the time. You are always up to something. Give us ears to hear what you are saying so we can simply move it forward. And give us eyes to see what you are doing so we can simply move it forward. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. Take a few moments to reflect on what's been said. You may be new at listening to the Holy Spirit, but just pay attention. Holy Spirit, do you have anything to say to me from this word? And process. Go ahead and process what he says. And it could be that he has some things that he would prefer for you to do before you leave here this morning. Let's take a few moments and close ourselves in and listen to what he has to say to us this morning. And then I'll lead you in the prayers of the people.